Good morning. It's so wonderful to be in worship with you this morning. Very thankful for your presence, especially if you are new to us here at Hillcrest. We greet you in the name of Christ, and we pray that God is something that you're able to feel and experience from your neighbor, from those that are around you here today. We hope to get to know you better. We've been getting touched by God through this powerful, powerful message from the Sermon on the Mount. And it's been encouraging us to take even these familiar teachings from Jesus and to pray again and ask again for God to let His kingdom come. And we are coming to near the end of the series and end of Jesus' sermon here from the words that Caleb just read for us from Matthew chapter 7. And we have Jesus literally bringing the message home. He closes his sermon with a message about life being like a builder, a home builder, and the kind of person that we want to be, the kind of life that we want to build. And building a foundation on Jesus and His teachings and His message. Last week we talked about starting that life, starting bringing that message of Jesus' teaching to home. At the very doorstep, at the entryway of your life and the exit way of your life, starting with mercy. And we looked at Jesus' teaching from Matthew 7, 1 through 5, and we see Jesus teaching us that forgiveness is what He calls us to rather than judging or condemning. And so mercy is that first step that we talked about. This home improvement life. You can go ahead and show that next slide there. And today we're talking about what does love look like? We hear it all throughout this sermon. We hear it all throughout Jesus' teaching. We hear it referenced. We hear it spoken of in church. We hear it in songs that we sing. But what does it look like? I want to give a quick plug just briefly. We've been having some great opportunities to hear and meet folks from our community on Wednesday nights in the chapel. And I really want to thank Perry Reeves and Jack Hardcastle and some others who helped to pull these together. We are about to close that. You have an opportunity this Wednesday night to be able to hear Police Chief Stan Standridge. But it's been really an amazing thing to learn about the different people who are serving our community, different nonprofit groups, and all kinds of different needs that we have. And last week I was blown away, even though I've heard some of these statistics before, but this past Wednesday, listening to Judge Paul Rotenberry, and then also to Dan Cox from NOAA Project, sharing about the struggles that are going on right here in Abilene, and some of the statistics of things that families are dealing with, challenges that they're dealing with, addictions that they're dealing with, brokenness that they're dealing with, and that it's happening right here at home. These are things that we face in our own lives here. There's such a need to take Jesus' teaching and Jesus' words and make sure that it's more than just a sermon, but what God is calling us to here is a kingdom movement. So that when Christians gather together whenever we meet on Sundays and other opportunities, it's not something where we just go, oh, that sounds good or that felt good, and then we go home to our lives and we neglect the application and the teaching here and the meaning. Jesus wants us to bring that love. What does it look like in our homes and in our lives? What does it look like whenever we leave church? Go out into the community. I love this time of year. I love getting to hear and read children's letters to Santa. Maybe whenever you were younger, how many of our kids, are any of our kids writing letters to Santa? I hope you've already sent those. We're already at December 3rd here, so it's coming on quick. I bet many of you, whenever you were younger, wrote letters to Santa. And I love getting to hear, children are so honest, they're just gonna ask exactly whatever they're thinking, right? It may be something that's completely outrageous. They may ask for sometimes parents, they ask for a pony or something like that, right? But you don't live in the country, you don't have space for something like that, but they're still gonna ask. Or they might ask for a, for a new family member, right? They might ask for something that you wouldn't necessarily be thinking about, but they're honest and they ask those questions. Even more so, I love getting to hear children's prayers or see some of their prayers that they've written down. If you go to my office, you'll see, or if you've been to my office before, you see that I have about 60 children's prayers hanging on the wall in my office because they're a good reminder for me. But they're so pure and they're so sweet and they're funny and they're beautiful. Because they ask what they are feeling. They ask God what they are thinking about. And you know, we used to do those things. Whenever you were younger, you would write letters to Santa Claus and you might have prayed some outrageous prayers whenever you were a child. It's unfortunate sometimes that when we grow up and we stop writing those letters because we outgrow that. And it's not uncommon for us too to pray less. Stop asking God about some of the dreams that we have. Stop communicating to Him the unabandoned feelings that are on our heart, like, you know. Sometimes I'm saddened when I think about the ways that we've grown up, probably in ways that God didn't mean for us to. And so we don't pray as much because we can go and do it ourselves, can't we? We don't ask as much, we don't seek as much because, well, we're adults and we're able to do so many things, and so why do I need to ask God when I can just go out and do it myself? I've got money, I've got ability, and so I rely on God less and less, or I feel like God maybe is too busy, or maybe I've been discouraged because sometimes I felt like God wasn't clued in on my life. And so I feel more comfortable putting my faith in other things. And I find myself depending more and relying more and trusting more on my nation or on my wealth or on some other power, some other strength. When we hear these words from Jesus in Matthew chapter 7, in verse 7 and following here, look at this text as it was just read for us. You hear Him talking to us about this prayerful aspect, this heart aspect of your life, in relation to God. And God is emphatic here, isn't He? He's repetitious, isn't He? Ask, seek, knock. It's like God is begging for you to open up like you used to whenever you were a child and you didn't know that you weren't supposed to ask like that or talk like that or pray like that. It's like God is wanting you to have that kind of imagination again of dreaming with Him together. It's like God is wanting to say, I don't care how ridiculous you might think this could sound to me, right? I don't care how outrageous you might think this feeling is that's in your heart. I don't care how embarrassed you may be about the burden that you're feeling or the concerns that are in your life. None of it is out of bounds. Do you hear God, Jesus kind of pulling us in here and saying, listen to Him. He wants you to ask. He wants you to seek. He wants you to knock. Because this is more than just a sermon from Jesus. This is an invitation to join in the work of God. Starting with your own heart and your own life. I love what Jesus says next. It seems like some of this humor He works into His sermon again. He says in verse 9, which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? By the way, that's a rhetorical question, dads, okay? If you respond to that and you were somewhere close to saying yes, that's either one of those, shame on you, right? How many of you have sons? How many of you have raised boys? Or how many of you have brothers and you grew up with maybe knowing a little bit of what it was like to have a brother in the household? Bringing up boys is not an easy thing. My sister has three daughters, and I remember several years ago whenever Micah and Caleb were little, she stayed at our house and was watching the boys. I told you she has three daughters, right? I don't think we had been gone maybe just a day. We came back home. There was a hole in the wall. There was a child in, they were toy handcuffs, but they were metal. And I learned later that he had ridden home in the back of my brother-in-law's car because he was unable to use the tools that were in our house to get the handcuffs off. And so I have a child who has, so together they were able to put a hole in the wall. One was handcuffed riding back in the back seat of a car, okay? So get that image. Before the age of 9, I think, for Caleb there. Bringing up boys, what an adventure that is. Do you hear God speaking here? Jesus says, let me tell you about what this family's like. Let me tell you about what God is like. He repeats this over and over again, doesn't he? He's better than any of the best dads that you've ever heard about. The most caring parents that you've ever seen or known, ones that have touched your life or ones that you've seen and you've longed to have that kind of experience. The very best of what we can offer as parents on our best days doesn't come close to what God has for you and what God longs to give you and share with you in your life. My dad is a great dad, but he's a notoriously bad gift giver. Any notoriously bad gift givers amongst us? Okay. Every Christmas, no lie, every Christmas, whenever we were opening Christmas gifts from one another, it would have his name on it, right? And he would literally be saying, "Let's see what I got you," because that meant, well, mom took care of that. I remember the year that he really did get a good gift for my mother. She got the video camcorder that she had been wanting. And I was kind of shocked that Dad had nailed this on the gift. And my sister leaned over and told me, actually, his secretary bought that for her. So sometimes we're afraid to ask God because we don't think of Him as a good gift giver sometimes. You know, some people avoid church life and avoid faith life because they think it's not going to meet what I need, or it's, you know, that's good for you. I'm glad you go to church. I'm glad you pray. That's good for you. I'm glad that works for you. But sometimes people feel like, in my experience, God just hasn't, I don't know if I can trust Him like that. I don't want to put myself out there and ask Him and be rejected, or I don't want to put myself out there and ask Him and be disappointed. And that's happened before. And people have those stories, don't they? They have those difficult times in their lives. And sometimes it's even hard for us when we read these words from Jesus to really believe that God can respond in your life better than any other giver or better than any other source. That's why it's so much easier for us to Google a question rather than asking God. Or it's so much easier for us to trust in what we have in our pocket and our wallets. Or it's so much easier for us to invest in some other way of feeling secure in our lives than to simply put our faith and our loyalty, to put all of ourselves into God's hands and say, whatever you do, I believe you and I trust you and I believe that you've shown yourself through Jesus to be the greatest gift giver. Can I tell you something? The reason why He's such a good gift giver isn't because God is so aware of all of your wants, but because God knows what you need in your life even more than you do. He knows the things that keep you up at night. He knows the things that weigh heavy on your heart whenever you're by yourself. He knows the things that you've done in your life that you still feel shame and guilt over, and you can't seem to get rid of it. And He knows exactly how to come in and touch your life. Jesus shares this powerful teaching, and He asks us to come and join into this. God doesn't force His will on us. Out of love, He invites us and asks us to invite Him. And not only for ourselves here, not only does He want you to participate in this in your own life, but He wants you to invite Him to come in. He wants you to ask. He wants you to seek. He wants you to knock, so that then He can move in into your life and into your heart, so that then you together along with God can share in this joyful, wonderful, powerful movement that we call the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. He wants to break through into your life and then move you into others' lives to do the very same thing. That's why He says in verse 12, here's this beautiful summary of what it looks like when we talk about kingdom and when we talk about the love of God. It looks like seeing the needs in other people's lives and taking the initiative to go to them the very same way that God has shown up. The very same way that God delivers and has provided and has touched your life. He wants you to do that same to others. You've seen this kind of closure here. He kind of closes the loop. Back in Matthew 5:17, some of you might remember that Jesus starts this series of teachings. And He has this statement in Matthew 5:17. Go to the next slide there. He says, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." And then we have a series of about 14 teachings that Jesus, He starts to open them up to us. Things like loving your enemy. Things like going and being reconciled to your brother, forgiving and being reconciled. Things like honoring God from your heart. Things like moving away from holding on to your anger and holding on to your hurt. And in the name of Jesus, to be able to take the very same grace that God has given you and apply that to those around you. He makes a summary here in this statement of all of those different teachings. And he's bookended them with 5:17 and 7:12 here. And the summary statement is one that we all are very familiar with. Whether people study the Bible or not, they've heard this teaching of the golden rule before, haven't they? Do to others as you would have them do to you. But here's Jesus saying, this is the summary. This is what it means. This is what God's been talking about. This is what God's been longing to see happen in your life and in our world. And He wants to do it through you. It's His joy and His pleasure to use you in His kingdom purpose and kingdom movement. Did you know that? God loves bringing people into this. It's His joy and it's His pleasure to see how you are transformed, and then it becomes like a contagious thing. The joy of the Lord and the mercy of the Lord and the love of God is it becomes like this spark that catches fire in people's lives and those that are around you, and they start to see it themselves and they start to feel it. They can't deny there is something going on in this person's life. Something is changing about them and in them. And I think it's God. He's alive in this person. And He wants to open our eyes to this truth. I had an experience just a few weeks ago. I was able to go with Jack Hardcastle to one of the prison units here for the first time, and it was a night of worship, and 32 inmates confessed Christ and were baptized into Christ. It was an incredible thing to see it. But I'm a preacher, you know, and we went in there as ministers, and he was much better than me, because I went in there thinking we need to go into this prison and bring God. And then I got there and I realized God was already there. And He was going to do something from there to me. You see how God loves to do that? It's His pleasure to do that. That the kingdom is not contained by walls or by some people who are, you know, by someone who's been a Christian longer or younger or whatever it may be, backgrounds. It's not contained by any of those things. And whenever we take Jesus' words here to heart, something starts to happen in us when we see this. We start to see the way that God's kingdom look and how His kingdom is actually something that can start to happen in our own lives, a real thing. Not just words on a page, but an actual life that's being changed. Look at some of these things as we've talked about here between 5:17 and 7:12. Go to the next slide there. These are just some of the things that Jesus has put into this teaching. That's the summary that He's building up here. Where has He been going? What all is He saying here? These themes within the Sermon on the Mount. God's merciful love for the enemy. God's presence in secret. God's reign and deliverance. You don't have to be afraid about tomorrow because God guarantees He's not going away on any of those days on your calendar. He continues to reign and He continues to deliver. We talked about this last week, and I'm humbled by God choosing to forgive rather than condemn. I'm so glad that Jesus chose to love me and forgive my sins rather than to judge me and say I don't want anything to do with Him. And we come to 7:12, and Jesus is saying, and here's the great part. God actually wants you to do this. He thinks that you are worthy and able to share in this joyful, life-transforming initiative by entering into people's lives, by seeing what it's like to live where they're at, by understanding them and listening to them and not judging them, but caring for them and inviting them and finding ways that you can help them. What is this? We're talking about what love looks like in our world, in people's lives, in different neighborhoods, people of different backgrounds and different cultures and different races. This beautiful harmony and melody of diversity. And God's love breaks in every way possible, beyond what we could ever imagine. This verse is asking us to step outside of ourselves, isn't it? You know, your neighbors that are sitting right here, even with you at Hillcrest today, even people that you see every week are dealing with things that you may or may not be aware of. Because it's so easy for us to develop this kind of Christian tunnel vision. If I can just focus on God in my life and get that together. And God wants to broaden our vision and open you up to be able to see what it looks like from the other seat, from the other life. Many years ago, Heather and I used to caregive for her father, her late father, and he had Parkinson's that had taken away his ability to walk, and so my life was radically changed whenever I was the full-time mobilizer. I helped transfer him from one spot to another. I helped I was the one who was pushing him in the wheelchair. And I never noticed these things. Did you know that there was a whole world out there that you didn't realize until whenever you literally change? It's true. When you go from, maybe if you're tall like me, you see things up here, and then you come down here and you go, wait a minute. It looks different down here. Little things like trying to enter a building that may or may not be handicap accessible. Little things like trying to get to move from a seat to standing, or vice versa, or from just little things that we don't even notice. I'll never look at the entryways into a building the same again in my life from helping him for 5 years or more, just in transferring and moving around. I never noticed those things before. I never thought about it. I wonder what ways God is wanting to open up our eyes to be able to see what other people are experiencing. And they may or may not know that God even cares about what's going on in their life. And what God is wanting from you, what God is asking you to ask Him is say, God, can we go there? And God's saying, I'm already there. I've just been waiting for you to come with me, right? I already love that person. I already care for them. I'm already reaching out for them. I've been needing you to come along and share with me in that. I've been needing you to show up and voice that to them and tell them about my love and tell them about my mercy and tell them that when they seek me, that when they pray, I am listening and I care. And you're proof of that. When you go to them and say, I need you to know that God loves you, and I'm so thankful that I can be here with you right now. God puts people in our path for that very purpose. Maybe there's some people you can think about in your own life right now. People that you pass by on a regular basis. Have you stopped to think about their life and what they may be going through? Have you tried to imagine what it's like to be them, where they're at, what they may be needing to hear, the way they need to see love expressed, the way they need to know and be reminded that God cares about their life? And then ask yourself, is God wanting you to be the one to deliver that message, to enter into their life, just as He's done for you? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we are blown away by the way You work. We can't put words, Lord, we can't put words to what love looks like, but what we can do, Lord, is point to Jesus. That's our answer. Because we don't even know. We did not fully understand what it means to love until You opened our eyes to Jesus' love. And we are still learning that today, Lord. God, I pray that You would help us to show that in our lives. God, I pray that You would help us to enter in, to take the initiative, to forgive and to love and to serve, to listen. God, help us to see what You're doing around us. And God, help us to join in. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It may be in your own home that this needs to start today. It may be with your own family that God is saying, when's the last time you stopped and thought about what your children are feeling or what your spouse is feeling? It may be the neighbor that lives right beside you that you wave to once in a while but seldom speak to. It may be someone who goes here to Hillcrest There's a whole world out there that God is longing for us to go to and see and listen and learn and love, so that His kingdom can grow, so that lives can be transformed, so that the love of Jesus can be seen even brighter in our world. If you have need for prayer this morning, if you have questions that you'd like to be able to talk to someone about this morning, we're going to have some of our men up front here, some of our shepherds in the front, and also a few in the back. If you are wanting to learn about that baptism or wanting to be baptized this very day, we have this opportunity right now. Let's stand together. And if you have need to respond, you can do that as we sing.